Hello, welcome to the Friday, February 13th, 2015 edition of the Sands and the Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Interesting Internet of Things story to start out with, and this time it's weather stations, or better, the NetAtmo weather station that is being sold as sort of a standalone system that connects to your Wi-Fi network and uploads weather data and other information to the cloud where you can then review it. The interesting part here is that it also uploads your Wi-Fi password. So if you're using WPA or such, the password that you need to enter to connect to that network is also uploaded to the cloud. Not just that, but all the data transmission, the password, as well as all the weather information and such being uploaded happens in the clear. According to NetAtmo, the company behind this particular system, this is debug capability that was left behind in the device and should be removed in an update. And actually, they just released an update. I haven't been able to reproduce it in the update they did publish earlier this week, so it may be fixed. However, this upload only happened sort of on the first setup, so it's possible that I didn't reset it far enough to actually trigger that behavior. The real problem, of course, comes in once you have devices like this installed in your corporate network and they start broadcasting home your passwords. Now, one simple trick, and that's sort of how I figured it out myself, is to have snort signatures or whatever IDS you're using that will trigger whenever critical data like this is being sent. And of course, a Wi-Fi password would be one item to look for. It should never be sent in the clear across the network. So that's now how you detect devices like this that report data back that they aren't supposed to. Now, you will not, of course, detect any more malicious applications that obfuscate or even encrypt the data before it's being sent back. And with this week's patch Tuesday, we talked, of course, about how Microsoft hardened GPO in order to prevent impersonation attacks and the like. One important thing I sort of forgot to mention in the past is that in order to take advantage of this new functionality, you actually have to enable it. By default, even with the patch applied, your system will behave just as before. There are now a number of new crew policies that you can set. For example, require mutual authentication, which allows you to require that the server and the client authenticate to each other, require integrity, that data can't be altered, and then require privacy. So make sure that you enable, if you can, these settings after you apply the patch. Of course, it makes perfect sense that Microsoft didn't enable these features because it will break connectivity to servers that do not support these features. Insofar, test it carefully before you enable it. And then again, you first need to apply the patch. This makes these new GPOs available for you. And VirusTotal is going to add a new feature to its database, and that's a whitelist. Essentially, what VirusTotal is going to do is they're going to work with major software makers to get lists of hashes for standard components of that respective software. They started with Microsoft, and already just using the Microsoft submission, they were able to eliminate 6,000 false positives from their database. Of course, the hope here is that this will help in cases where antivirus engines go rogue and start marking legitimate software as malicious. NIST already has an effort like that, but their effort is a little bit more limited and a little bit more specific. What NIST does is that it actually receives CDs, DVDs, essentially hard copies from vendors, and then looks for hashes on these hard copies and publishes databases with these hashes. This is really more meant for forensics. So if you have a suspicious system, you can essentially eliminate all the known good components. So the goal here is essentially not to mark too many components as good. And they try to be really, really careful in what they add to their database, which is why they only accept hard copy submissions. So for example, different patch levels and such may not be included in the NIST database. The way I understand the virus total system works is a little bit more informal, where essentially software vendors like Microsoft just send in hashes and probably file names of software that is then marked as non-malicious. And if you like to play with fire and haven't updated Flash yet, one more reason to do so. Google's Project Zero just published a proof of concept exploit for CVE 2015-318. This was not one of the famous Zero Day vulnerabilities, but another vulnerability that was patched about a week ago in Flash. And with that, there is now a proof of concept exploit available that shows remote code execution. Interesting bug in so far that it affects the regular expression engine in Flash that can be used in this case to execute code. Well, and this is it for today. Thanks again for listening and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.